there's now 123, 28 new cases.
And so we're trying as best as we possibly can to certainly keep kids within the fray and in contact with their teachers and with learning.
It's not just about passing a budget and the numbers. There are many policy initiatives that I laid out back in January, and we're going to pursue all of them.
Direct payments of $1,200 per adult.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode, the latest on the coronavirus pandemic. Vermont Governor Phil Scott and members of his administration are implementing a statewide stay home, stay safe order. WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley reports.
The governor's semi-regular pandemic update began with Vermont Health Commissioner Dr. Mark Levine displaying a chart illustrating the spread of the virus across the state over the past 2 weeks.
This is exponential growth, and we don't yet know what the days to come hold, but we can anticipate that everything will get higher. I want to remind you that it was only 2 weeks ago we had one case in Vermont. In my hand, I have the most updated data, which came after midnight last night, and there's now 123, 28 new cases. The other perspective is that it's only been about 2 weeks that we've been involved with coronavirus at this level in Vermont. And in that period of time, we've experienced now 8 deaths.
Republican Governor Phil Scott signed a Stay Safe, Stay Home executive order effective at 5 p.m. Wednesday. It mandates all non-essential businesses and nonprofits, quote, must suspend all in-person business operations, operations that can be conducted online or by phone, or sales that can be facilitated with curbside pickup or delivery only can continue, unquote. Individuals are, quote, directed to stay at home or in their place of residence, leaving only for essential reasons, unquote. Scott says he recognizes the economic and emotional repercussions of his order, but based on science and the advice of state health experts, he feels his action is necessary.
I need you to stay home. Doing so will save lives. It's just that simple. That doesn't mean you can't go out for your essential needs or take your dog for a walk or take your cross-country skis out. Just keep your distance from others while doing so. We must all do our part to slow the spread of this deadly virus and protect the vulnerable, which includes the elderly and those with underlying chronic conditions. We must also do this to prevent the healthcare system from being overwhelmed, which is important to the health and safety of all Vermonters.
Governor Scott said additional actions will be forthcoming to slow the spread of the virus.
Just to put this into perspective for those that may think we're going too far, this virus is spreading quickly. It may not have affected you yet, but all too soon, many of us will know someone personally, and then it will start to feel very real. Today, we'll also be announcing that in coordination with Amtrak and partner states, Vermont will suspend all Amtrak service beginning tomorrow. Additionally, due to the recent snowstorm and the accumulation we received, and in consultation with VAST, they have agreed to close its trail network for the season beginning today.
A link to the governor's stay-at-home order is at WAMC.org. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
With Governor Charlie Baker extending the shutdown of all Massachusetts schools into early May, steps are being taken to help students continue learning while at home in the state's third largest school district. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill has more.
Along with the bags of sandwiches handed to parents and their children at the Rebecca Johnson Elementary School in Springfield on Tuesday, packets of grade-specific study-at-home math and reading lessons were also passed out.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Do they have any iReady packets?
What grade do you need?
We need
kindergarten.
Six.
School officials printed thousands of hard copies from an online education platform to distribute at each of the 16 grab-and-go meal sites that have been set up in the city. The materials also on the school district's website. It's part of an effort to keep the coronavirus-caused closure of all schools in Massachusetts from being treated as a long vacation, said Christopher Sutton, the principal at Rebecca Johnson.
When they were able to get these particular supplementals, they can go right in and get started and really kind of pick up where they left off when they were actually physically in the building.
The school has its own website where students are being encouraged to participate in class projects. Also, Sutton said teachers are staying in touch with children and parents through a communication app called Class Dojo.
And so we're trying as best as we possibly can to certainly keep kids within the fray and in contact with their teachers and with learning.
The Springfield Public Schools have invested heavily in technology. A few years ago, the district bought laptop computers to give to every student, but a pilot program began only this year to allow a limited number of the laptops to be taken home. School officials are now looking for ways for students to have laptops at home, according to Azelle Kavan, the communications director for the Springfield Schools. However, she said Wednesday that school officials do not know how many students have broadband internet access at home. Also, the laptops would need to be connected to a home Wi-Fi network. There is a real concern that children could fall behind the longer they remain out of school, said Laura Flynn, president and CEO of Link to Libraries.
And yes, there's an incredible amount of learning loss. It's hard on the children. Their routines are disrupted. It's hard. Children have parents who are working. We don't know what their home life is like, so we don't know if we have parents who are really teaching at home. So anything we can do to make the parents' job easier and to help the kids, if nothing else, if a child keeps reading through this and it can improve their literacy skills, then we won't be at a total loss.
Flynn's nonprofit organization handed out over 1,000 books at the Springfield School lunch sites Tuesday, each one packaged separately and labeled by grade. The books came brand new from the organization's warehouse. Flynn thanked MGM employees who helped package the books and transport them to the lunch sites. Reporting from Springfield, this is Paul Tuthill, the WAMC's Pioneer Valley News Bureau on the campus of Western New England University.
While New York lawmakers have just days left until the state budget is due, and they say despite the coronavirus outbreak, which is worsening a multi-billion-dollar deficit by the day, they intend to have a spending plan ready by the April 1st deadline. Our Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says the budget deficit could rise to $15 billion as the stock market tanks and the economy's at a standstill. Despite those challenges, Cuomo is confident a spending plan can be in place by April 1, and it can even have some of the other unrelated items in it that Cuomo has proposed. They include legalizing the adult use of recreational marijuana, rolling back some of the bail reform changes that ended most forms of cash bail on January 1, and banning flavored vaping products.
We will pass a budget and address the policy items that we laid out and we discussed, because it's not just about passing a budget and the numbers. There are many policy initiatives that I laid out back in January, and we're going to pursue all of them.
Cuomo is also seeking greater powers in the budget to move money around later in the year as the state's true financial picture becomes clearer. His budget director, Robert Mujica, explains.
We need a budget that's in place that gives us the flexibility to hold payments back, modulate things, move payments ahead of time for health care. So that's really the budget that you're going to need.
David Friedfeld with the fiscal watchdog group Citizens Budget Commission says giving the governor new powers in the budget would set a bad precedent. He says it's better to have the legislature come back later in the year when hopefully it will be safe to meet again and consider the changes.
And they should come back in 3 months, 6 months, whenever is necessary in order to amend the budget. It's better to do that than set up a system where the executive would enshrine themselves with additional power.
Some, including the Republican minority party leaders in both houses of the legislature, say lawmakers should do a bare-bones budget that sticks to spending-related items. They say there's time to do other policy initiatives later in the year, when hopefully it will be safe for the full legislature to meet again and to once again allow lobbyists and interest groups into the Capitol. The Capitol is currently closed to visitors. Friedfeld agrees.
Later on, whenever things return to normal, then you could come back and address those important policy issues.
The Senate and Assembly have not met in over a week. When they briefly met on March 18th to approve paid sick leave for quarantined workers, Senate Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins said the entire spending plan has to be reevaluated.
Every single assumption that we had has got to be challenged, and has got to be adjusted for the realities that we are in.
Progressive groups and some Democratic lawmakers want to raise taxes on the wealthy to help balance the budget. Stuart Cousins is against that idea. She represents parts of Westchester County, and several members of her Democratic conference are from Long Island, where combined state and local taxes are already the highest in the nation.
I don't know how we tax our way, frankly, out of this.
Stuart Cousins says federal help is needed. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie agrees that New York is not going to be able to manage on its own.
If we don't do something that continues a circulation of money into the national economy and here in New York State, we are going to be headed for maybe not even a recession, but a total depression.
Governor Cuomo is not pleased with federal bailout efforts so far, though, and he says the bill passed by Congress is not enough. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
And members of the business community in Saratoga County got an update on the $2 trillion federal stimulus bill from Congresswoman Elise Stefanik and the Small Business Administration. WAMC's Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard reports.
The conference call Wednesday was organized by the Saratoga County Prosperity Partnership. With business representatives and the county's state legislators on the line, SCPP President Shelby Schneider gave early results of a poll of local businesses, offering a brief snapshot of the local economy. Schneider said more than 230 businesses responded to the survey conducted as the COVID-19 virus spreads in New York.
59% of the businesses reported that they're at risk of closing and they're concerned how to retain and pay the workforce they still have. 41% of those surveyed say that they have already had to lay off their workforce. A majority of the businesses say that they need working capital now.
Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, whose 21st district covers a portion of Saratoga County, was on the call to detail the $2 trillion federal stimulus bill now working its way through Congress. Saying she supports the bill in its current form, Stefanik went through the numbers.
Specifically, the bill provides $130 billion for hospitals, $150 billion for state and local governments, $350 billion for small businesses that will be in the form of SBA low-interest loans, much of which will be forgiven if it's used for payroll, utilities, mortgage, or rent, 4 months of unemployment insurance, and direct payments of $1,200 per adult.
Regional Administrator for the Small Business Administration, Steve Bulger, answered questions about the SBA loans available to businesses. He acknowledged the difficulty small businesses may have experienced in trying to contact the agency about emergency funding.
We are partnering as we speak with several of the largest technology companies in the country to ramp up our capability over the coming days. So that is, we're turning to the private sector to boost us.
Bulger asked those applying for SBA loans to start working on paperwork now. He said guidance is available on the agency's website.
Before you apply, you can actually get a checklist of what documentation you're going to need, tax returns, financial information, etc.
Stefanik said independent contractors, sole proprietors, and nonprofits will be eligible for the SBA loans included in the stimulus package. She was asked about the area's farming economy as well, and how to ensure that enough migrant workers are on hand to support the industry in a time of border restrictions related to the pandemic. Stefanik pledged her support.
We're going to work directly with the Secretary of the Agriculture and Secretary of Homeland Security on this because we absolutely need to make sure that our ag workforce is here and available to get us through this challenging time. And we also, this kind of also highlights the need for overall ag visa reform to finally fix that program, which I've long advocated for.
State officials on the call included Senators Jim Todisco and Daphne Jordan, and Assembly members Mary Beth Walsh, Kerry Warner, and Dan Steck. Each shared their own ideas as state government officials seek ways to cut red tape to bring relief and benefits to small businesses and the newly unemployed. Last week, Governor Andrew Cuomo, through executive order, waived a 7-day waiting period for benefits. However, the state has seen a surge of applicants, making it difficult to manage. As an additional step, Assemblyman Steck said he wants leaders to consider removing a tax on benefits received.
In the short term, as a temporary fix, we could waive The 10% federal tax and the 2.5% state tax on unemployment benefits just to put a little more money in people's pockets.
Several of the legislators on the call said businesses are experiencing difficulty obtaining business interruption insurance coverage related to the pandemic. Senator Todisco said government interference is typically covered.
But what's been happening, this is a question we're getting right now, is the insurance companies are saying to the small businesses, well, yeah, it was government closed, but it was because of the pandemic. So we're not going to be covering the closure in many instances. So that's something we, I think, have to deal with and grapple with also those questions as we're doing the budget, and may be something the Attorney General has to weigh in on for our small businesses.
Several bills have been introduced in both houses of the New York State Legislature to provide relief during the COVID-19 crisis. For WAMC News, I'm Lucas Willard.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Stay safe, stay inside. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.